We are wrapping up this two-month journey through the book of Revelation. Finally, today, we get to the really, really good stuff. And so we're going to be in Revelation 21 and 22. And those chapters are so important that I want to hear both of them. And so for our call to worship, would you hear these words from Revelation 21? Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then one of the angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And in the spirit, he carried me away to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on them are the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 164 cubits by human measurement, which the angel was using. The wall is built of jasper, while the city's pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city are adorned with every jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth. I need to work on my jewels. The 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is a single pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor will anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Whew, you ready for worship? Would you pray with me? Oh, Father God. Oh, how our hearts long for this promise that there is going to be a day when you, oh Lord, will dwell with your people unhindered. Our eyes will fully see your glory at every moment and every place. We will never miss it again. Oh, we long for that day when there is no more temple, for every place is where you are. And we are just always with you. Oh, our eyes long for the beauty that we can already begin to glimpse through these words. Our hearts long for the healing, the place of no tears, the place of no pain, the place of no darkness, the place of safety where the gates are never closed. Oh, we long for that place. And we thank you, O Lord, that this gift of worship you have given us here and now gives us these moments where the veil feels so very thin, and it's like we're almost in that place. For as we lift our voices to you, we know that you are here with us in a special way. And as we share your love with one another, we are living into the hope that this new Jerusalem brings. And so let our worship join in the songs of heaven this day. Lift up our hearts, O Lord. Give us peace and give us joy in your presence. As we long for that day, let us live fully into the gift of this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. See, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your comrades, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves the practices of falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with his testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. And so, Lord Jesus, come. Come once and for all, but also by your Spirit, come into this place right now. And as we turn to your word, would your Spirit help us hear what it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Finally, it's what we've been waiting for. After 14 long chapters of judgment, we see what it's all been leading to. It's God's dream for us. Our deepest longings realized. The last two chapters of Revelation reveal what God has been moving toward since Genesis chapter 3, when his children had to leave the garden without him. These chapters tell us how it all ends, which it turns out is just the beginning. This is the good stuff. This is the promise of the new Jerusalem, our forever home. So we're going to get to know a little bit about this place this morning, because it is never too soon to get excited about what is to come. So what is this New Jerusalem? What's the structure of the New Jerusalem? How is it built? First, we find out where it comes from and where it doesn't come from. It doesn't come from humans. It is not the result of all of us finally getting our acts together and figuring out how to make things work a little better down here. It's not from us at all. The New Jerusalem comes out of heaven. You see it there in 21 verse 10. It is an act of God. God alone. It is heaven coming to earth. And when it comes, there is no longer a boundary between the two, heaven and earth. You know, in life, in those times you've had that maybe you might call them those thin veil moments. Those moments in your life when just for a little while, you felt like heaven and earth were so very close together, like there was nothing between them. It could have been during a powerful time of worship and it just felt like heaven was right there. Or maybe for you, it was at the passing of a loved one and it almost felt like you could see with them the heaven that they were seeing. Perhaps on a mountaintop where you see God's presence and it feels like it's so very close. You could almost just reach up and touch heaven. And you know how in those moments you get this sense that there was really never meant to be this boundary at all, this boundary between God and between us. It was never really supposed to be there. And those moments, as brief as they are, we feel so very alive. We feel like now this is where I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is how things are supposed to be. Those moments, if you've had them, you wish that it could last forever, but you know as well as I do, they seem to fade just as quickly as we stumble into them, don't they? And then we work so hard to get back, to recreate it, and so often we can't recreate that moment on our own. It's just a gift of grace. But good news, that this New Jerusalem that is coming to be knows no boundary between heaven and earth. God brings heaven here. And the two become one. It's what we've always longed for. It's where we will always be, and it will be forever. And so, what's the design of this New Jerusalem? Did you get that if you were here for the call of worship? There was a lot to it. John gives us the dimensions. Did you get the dimensions? 1,500 miles each way. That's verses 15 and 16 in chapter 21. Now, those of you who have been on this study, is that a literal 1,500 miles that heaven is? No, because nothing in Revelation is literal, right? 1,500 square miles is roughly the size of the Roman Empire at John's time. And so there may as well be the size of the known world as far as he was concerned. This New Jerusalem, he is saying, it comes and it replaces, it transforms all that is into something that is new. It's not only 1,500 miles long and wide, it's also 1,500 miles high. Now try to picture that. You see, John is creating this symbolic universe and it's this city that is a perfect cube. Do you know what else in Scripture is a perfect cube? Check out 1 Kings 6, verse 20. It says there, the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 wide, and 20 high. You know what he's talking about? It is the Holy of Holies in the temple. It was a cube. You know what happens in the Holy of Holies in the temple? It was the one place on earth where the fullness of God presence was said to dwell, the Holy of Holies. And now John is saying with this New Jerusalem, the whole entire earth is the Holy of Holies. Every single place is a place where God's presence dwells. Every single home, every single heart, every square inch of creation, there God will be. Every place, the Holy of Holies in the New Jerusalem. You might try to get away from God and you're not going to be able to because he is fully there. It says its foundations are decorated with precious stones. I'm not going to read all those stones again. That was hard enough one time. The city. The entire city is of pure gold. It's a beauty that is perfected in that place. Its walls are mind-numbingly high and around 65 feet thick, and they're made of jasper. It's a picture of beauty upon beauty. It says, angels stand at the 12 gates, and the 12 tribes of Israel are named on the gates, the 12 apostles on the foundation stones. All of this New Jerusalem is telling us, who are the people of God? What is the story of the people of God? Did you notice something unusual about the gates in the New Jerusalem? Okay. That could be unusual. That would be weird. But what's more unusual is, what's the purpose of having a gate? To shut it. These gates will never be shut. What's the point? You see, they're not there for defense. Because in the New Jerusalem, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to protect the city from. Anything that might endanger it is gone. The gates, they're there. They're there for decoration. They're there to tell the people who God's people are, but they're not there to keep anybody out. More on that in a little bit. This New Jerusalem, it's a place of invitation. Gates always open for all of eternity, for any who want to come and dwell with their God. What do you make of an eternal place where gates are never closed? Is it ever too late for a repentant soul to turn to Jesus and find their home with him? Is it ever too late if the gates are always open? Is the death, is after death too late? If so, then why do these gates never close? Something to ponder, this place of eternal invitation to come and be with the God who has made a place to be with us. Is it ever too late? Revelation 21 and 22, it tells us some things that you cannot find in the New Jerusalem. It tells us what's not there. Do you remember what some of those things are? All right, I'll help you. One thing that's not there, there's no sea. Did you catch that? 21 verse 1. Do you remember in Revelation what comes from the sea? Some of you are like, man, I like the beach. It's my favorite place. Okay, this is not about that. Do you remember in Revelation what comes out of the sea? Yeah, in Revelation 13 verse 1, the beast comes out of the sea. The sea symbolized that place where all of chaos and evil crept up from and snuck onto the earth and did its deeds. It says there is no sea in the New Jerusalem. That means there is not even a chance for something evil to be birthed again. That story is done. No more sea. There's no death in the New Jerusalem. There's just life there. And is that not the best news of all the news? Says there's no tears, there's no mourning, there's no crying, verse 4. It says there's no evil, unclean, or accursed persons or things. Now we have this image of the gates that remain open, this open invitation. But even still, we have this word that the inclusive nature of the New Jerusalem does not stretch to those who still refuse to live in the stream of God's love. It is not open to those who actively press against God's love, because they won't be at home in the New Jerusalem anyway. If every square inch is the holy of holies and you can't get away from the living God, those who have no interest in loving this God are not going to be at home in the New Jerusalem. They don't want to be there. N.T. Wright says this keeping out the things that are evil and accursed. He says this is necessary for the same reason that one doesn't allow smoking in a library or the playing of radios in a concert hall. That which ruins the beauty and holiness of God's new city is ruled out by definition. People choosing to remain enslaved to evil won't be in that place, because they don't want to be in that place. But there are no closed gates. And so folks choosing life apart from God, they might come around even still. But until then, they won't be there. Because we have this God who the whole story of Scripture shows that he is never a God to force himself, to force people to come and live with him. The only way that God coerces is by the power of his love. He's got open gates. He's got love and invitation. Any that want to be there will be there. But if they don't want to be there, they will not be there. There's no temple in the New Jerusalem. Because it says the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. That's verse 22. Now this statement is the climactic point of John's New Jerusalem vision. Because Jerusalem as a city is all about the temple. If there is no temple, there is no Jerusalem. It's just like every other city. But the reason for John that there is no temple in the New Jerusalem is because God and the Lamb are the temple. And this is a brand new Jerusalem. Israel's temple was where the living God dwelt. And there had been a time they believed that God had left that house with this promise to return to them. And Revelation 21 announces that God has returned to the house, but not quiet. Instead of dwelling in a house, God becomes the house. And it is a radical vision of this whole new creation. No need for a temple when God himself is at home and when God is the home and in which we all find our home. In the New Jerusalem, there is no sun or moon. There is no night, for God and the Lamb are the light. So what is there? That's a lot of things that aren't there. So what is there? We've already hinted at so much of that. What is there is beauty, absolute beauty. What is there is light and life. Everything, plants, animals, humans, relationships, everything is flourishing, fully alive. Try to picture that. Everything fully alive. What is there? God's intimate, unending presence with his people. We will actually walk with him and talk with him and love him without any distraction getting in the way. There will be no shame or guilt or fear or apathy or laziness or ignorance to keep us from the living God. God dwelling with us, the whole place, us at home with our God. That is what's there. God's unending presence with his people. That should get a lot of amens, but it's good news. In the New Jerusalem, there are trees and there are rivers. There are gardens to tend to. There's good work to be done. The tree of life is there. And now it says that it is bringing healing to the nations. That's chapter 22, verse 2. Healing is there. Healing for every land that has seen blood on its shores. Healing for every heart that has been taught at some point which people it should hate. Healing for every bomb that has been dropped. Healing for every racial slur that has been spoken. Healing for every act of oppression that has held the poor and the vulnerable around the neck. Healing for every people group that has been made to be invisible and ignored and abused. Healing for the nations whose power has made them arrogant and lazy. All of those sicknesses that play out communally in the New Jerusalem, there is healing for all the nations, and all the nations have a sickness. Just pick yours. Healing. Can you see it? What does it look like when all the nations are healed? What a beautiful promise. What a wonderful hope. There's a throne in the heart of the city. And God and the Lamb rule together from that throne with love and justice and peace and goodness. There's absolute safety there. And so the gates can stay open. Imagine what a powerful promise this was for those little persecuted churches. Remember, all of Revelation's written to those seven churches, right? What a wonderful promise for these seven little persecuted churches full of people who were living their lives having to always look over their shoulder, wondering if they were the next ones to be beheaded, taken away. Oh, it's a place where the gates never have to close because no one's coming to get you. We're all just for each other. Oh, what a beautiful picture. That's what's there. What's there? People from every nation flooding into those gates to worship the Lamb. Nations who have been at war are reconciled in the New Jerusalem. Israelis and Palestinians walk into the New Jerusalem hand in hand. The kings of the earth, it says in chapter 21, verse 24, they bring their riches to bow down and honor the King of Kings. Dictators who thought they had all the power bow before Jesus the Lamb in the New Jerusalem. Don't you love it? I love it. In this place, everyone loves the Lord. Imagine that. Everyone loves the Lord, and the Lord showers his endless blessings on everyone. That's what's there. My friend Kara, I told her she was in the sermon today, and she's been anxious for an hour, so put you out of your misery. My friend Kara, she is growing, if you know her, you know this, so deep in her love for Jesus. And she is up before the crack of dawn, earlier than me with the baby, digging into God's word, sitting in this silent place in her home so she can hear his voice. And she's always one of the first ones to say yes to any opportunity to serve him. She's just hungry for more and more of him. And so often she'll come and she'll tell me what she's learning or what she's hearing and what she's seeing and how Jesus keeps opening his heart to her as she opens her heart to him. And more than once, with tears in her eyes, she's come to me and she said, "I just wish everyone would love him like this." She said, "Why don't they?" She said, "Well, what holds them back? Why is everyone not up at 2:30 a.m. with me? Why can't we all just love him when we see how much he loves us? Why do we not all just love him?" You see, there's truly nothing better than giving everything to love Jesus. But the only thing better, if there is something, is loving him with a bunch of others who really love him too. And so I've got good news for my friend Kara. In the New Jerusalem, everyone will love the Lord with all their hearts. Everyone. Can you imagine what that world will be like when we all just love him completely together? It seems too good to be true, but it's true. But it's true. So what do we do until we get there? Do we just twiddle our thumbs and look up to the sky and ask Jesus, "Is this the day?" No. You see, if the New Jerusalem is heaven coming to earth, then what we do until it comes is we start living in the ways of heaven here on earth now. That's what we pray every time we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." We are saying, "Jesus, let the New Jerusalem come to be among us, even here, even now, until it is all that we know." So what do we do? What do? We live lives committed to worshiping the Lamb. We've heard it through this whole series. That is the main buzz in heaven. Everyone, all nations, joining the angels and worshiping the Lamb. Sing to him. Join his people in getting to know his heart. Come to the communion table and enter his story of grace again and again. Be with the community of worshipers every time you can. Order your entire life around that gift of worship and let everything else fall into place from there. Because when we worship, we get a glimpse of the New Jerusalem together. What do we do until he comes? We worship the Lamb. What do we do? What do we do? Be witnesses to the Lamb. All of Revelation is a word of encouragement to those who are putting their necks on the line to lift high the name of Jesus. And John is telling them 1,000 times over, don't shut down and don't shut up. He says, even when it's hard, tell how good Jesus is. Even when the culture pushes back, still declare Jesus is King. Even when they laugh at you, tell of the resurrection again and remind them that he's coming again. Even when it costs you everything, follow that lamb. Tell what he's done for you. Tell what he's done for us. Stay strong, stay courageous, stay faithful. You witnesses, you followers of the lamb, what do? Be witnesses to the lamb. What do? Be truth tellers in a confused world. In a world addicted to war, keep telling the truth that sacrificial love wins the day. In a world that wants us to give our souls to 1,000 different things, keep speaking the truth that only Jesus has an eternal home for my soul, so I will stick with him. In a world that says that people are disposable, shout out above and say, no, everyone I know is made in the image of God and they will be treated as such. In a world that says accumulate more and more for yourself, tell the truth. Say what I read says the wealth of Babylon led to its demise and our treasure is where our heart will be also. And so I will cling to Jesus because he's the only one who has a place for my heart forever and ever. Forget that stuff. Tell the truth in a confused world. Know the truth that we only find in Jesus. Speak that truth until we're home with him. What do? Until the New Jerusalem is all we know? We live in hope. Revelation tells us that the worst news is never the last news. This story has an end, and it is a good one. And even the end is just the beginning of all that our hearts have ever longed for. C.S. Lewis, at the end of The Last Battle, the very end of his Narnia series, says this, and it is beautiful. He says, for us, this is the end of all the stories, and we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. We live in hope. That the darkest days here in the scheme of eternity with our Jesus are the tiniest blip on the screen of life. We live in hope that there will be a day when not another bullet will fly. We live in hope that the word cancer will never be spoken again, and those bodies ravaged by it will be restored. We live in hope that those abusive patterns that get passed down from generation to generation will be cut off and families will live in real peace and in real love. We live in hope that the word enemy will be erased from our vocabulary because everyone we know, we will just see Jesus all over them and they will see Jesus all over us. We live in hope that these broken hearts will be mended. These tears will be wiped away. These aches and pains will be healed up. These fears will be overcome. These walls will be torn down. These doubts will be brought to light. The hearts of stone will be made to hearts of flesh. We live in hope. And with this hope, this promise of what our home in the New Jerusalem will be, we join the Spirit and we join the bride in crying out to Jesus, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. We join the call for all those who don't know him to come. Everyone who is thirsty, come. Anyone who longs for life, we say, he's ready for you. The gates are open. Come. Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, John cries. And us with him, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Into war-torn places like Israel and Palestine and Russia and Ukraine, we, a people of hope, cry out, come, Lord Jesus. into the lives of people we know who are battling life-threatening diseases. We, people of hope, cry out, come, Lord Jesus. To those struggling this very day to find a reason to hold on, thinking it's all just bad, it's all just darkness, it's all just despair, we, people of hope, cry out, come, Lord Jesus. To those who are missing loved ones who are already with them, we, people of hope, cry out, no more death, come, Lord Jesus. To those whose hearts are broken in relationship, spouses divorcing, unfaithful partners, abusive parents, siblings who refuse to talk to each other, children cut off from their parents, we, a people of hope, cry out, come, Lord Jesus. Where we see poverty, we, people of hope, cry out, come, Lord Jesus. In the face of racism and oppression, we cry out, come, Lord Jesus. In the face of depression, people of hope cry out, come, Lord Jesus. What would you add to the chorus? Where do we need Jesus to come? Where do we need the New Jerusalem to move in until it's only always here? Where do you see it? Where do you need it? Name it in your heart of hearts. Together we say, yes, come, Lord Jesus. And the promise is this, in all those places, it will happen. Jesus will come, and he will make all things new. And until he does, we have reason to live. And we have reason to live in hope. Unshakable hope. That is the theme of Revelation, and nothing less. Unshakable hope. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, we do say with John, come, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our lives in full today. We are thirsty. Come. Come into the lives of our neighbors who do not even know you. Oh, they need to see those open gates of your love. Come. This new Jerusalem that our hearts long for, come, come. And until it does, oh Jesus, let us be faithful to bring heaven to earth, to be your witnesses, to worship you well, to speak your truth, to live in hope, so everyone can see that you come and that you are coming. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.